This is the Film Review Podcast. I'm Douglas Worth.
And I'm Fergus Jeffs.
So this week we're going to review Captain Marvel, which came out a few days ago. We're then going to go quickly onto what is coming out later on in the summer and the blockbuster era, because our last topic is going to be about cinema prices, cinema tickets, and the fact that in Lincoln it costs almost £13 for an adult ticket.
It's ridiculous.
Which the national average is actually going down to about $7.22, I think I wrote somewhere. So, you know, Lincoln, it's got one cinema, it's massively expensive. Captain Marvel. First impressions.
Well, it seems like Marvel are still succeeding in their kind of world domination of the world cinema. It's the latest release, just a month ahead of their next one. It seems to have no end, this Marvel Cinematic Universe.
This Marvel train of cinema releases.
You think, when is the bubble going to burst? It still hasn't. It's almost the size of a country by this point. Yeah, we saw it. We have our own opinions on it, which we'll show you.
I'm not a superhero type watching person. I don't really get into that whole thing. You're a bit more into that universe than I am.
I'm not like a completionist, but I've seen a number of them, and I've seen a number of superhero films, so I can compare it to what I've seen already. So I would say that, definitely. But
let's go straight into it. Okay, so this film, it lists two directors to start off with, which can signify that a director has dropped out or walked off halfway through the film and they've brought in a new one.
Bohemian Rhapsody.
But this one has actually got Anna Boden and Ryan Fleck, who both helped co-write this film. They're both American filmmaker duos. They work together on a lot of things, like Half Nelson with Ryan Gosling and Sugar, and it's kind of funny. You think so? So this is like their first big blockbuster release. How do you think they did?
Well, I think they had their own unique style. Like there was, it seems that in Marvel they seem to get the latest director. You know, who's the next big thing? It's like what they did with Ryan Coogler with Black Panther. You could tell it was Marvel, but you could tell it was their own style. Like, I think what I like about these Marvel films is that they're the same but different. Like, each director has its own flair for the project. And even though having seen some of the other MCU films, I would say that there is some things you can compare to other films, but I would say it can stand on its own, although it has to be part of a larger story, as they all seem to be.
Coming into it not as a fan of superhero films and stuff like that, I don't really get into the whole thing about the Avenger train and stuff, so getting into it, I really enjoyed it. Like, it's a very good origin story for this superhero. I've heard nothing about it.
I agree.
All I knew it was a female superhero, so Brie Larson, who you may know from Room or Free Fire or Short Term 12. She plays Captain Marvel. I think she did brilliantly. I think it's just an absolute great performance from another masterclass.
She certainly has the knack for doing the kind of the dialogue that they gave her. She was able to be serious when needed to be. She was able to kind of bounce off Samuel L. Jackson, who is very good comedically. She's done some comedies in the past, which I've seen some of them. She works quite well. I think it was a good casting choice, really, because they've gone for some young names, like with the exception of maybe Downey Jr. or something like that. There are very young cast, but she fit in quite well. Like, she didn't seem out of place. Whereas in some of these films, you can sometimes say, oh, did they maybe make a mistake with the casting? I think with this one, she was brilliant. Yeah, I think she was really good.
I think overall casting, brilliant. Like, there was no one who was out of place throughout the film. Again, Samuel Jackson can do the funny, can do the serious. See, I think a performance in Room where she has to be serious, she brought a lot of that in when she needed to be in scenes where there was a lot of seriousness about the story. But there was a lot of Free Fire where, you know, she was flying a lot of jokes, or with the dialogue, it was just quick, it was easy, it was just flowing back and forth between them all.
Should we tell them a bit about the film?
Trailer number two. that they released can actually help explain a bit more about the film as we go along.
I keep having these memories. Something in my past is the key to all of this.
You know how to fly this thing?
We'll see.
That's a yes or no question.
Yes.
Yes, that was the clip. So her talking about memories, something in her past. And then obviously right at the end, you had the joke bit of Samuel Jackson asking if she could fly this. And she says, we'll see. And he's like, that's a yes or no question. She's like, yes. And
yeah, that's the kind of dialogue you get a lot of. There are plenty of lighthearted moments because obviously it's you have the taking over the world plot, which is very common amongst these kind of Marvel films, superhero films in general, or it's the fate of the galaxy. But with this one, that it was compared to maybe like a Guardians of the Galaxy, where there's a lot of humorous moments. Because I mean, there was plenty of laughs in it, especially from Samuel L. Jackson.
I laughed several times throughout that film. I couldn't actually believe how funny it was. I thought it would be a bit more serious and a bit more action oriented, it was very well written by these three here. And, you know, it's something you want to see where a superhero film is not just action, it's not just the fate of the world or the fate of the universe. You want something else in there, and they did that with this film.
So the plot is Carol Danvers, when we first see her, is part of this group called the Kree. There's a planet which is part of the Marvel Universe, which is this planet Kree, and the people are called the Kree, and they are fighting against the Skrulls, who are these shape-shifting alien beings who want this MacGuffin technology. I suppose it's the easy way to say it and explain what it is. But she keeps having these flashes of memories of a life which she used to have on Earth, but she obviously doesn't know that. It's kind of an amnesia plot in a sense, but she has to deal with this situation. She, after a mission gone wrong, she crashes onto Earth. She meets young Nick Fury in the 1990s with some pretty good CGI on making a younger Samuel L. Jackson. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, like the CGI is very well done. Like, I heard about the fact that they altered him to make him look younger to do with the story, and I was a bit worried about the CGI job, because you see films that try to implement CGI and it goes horribly wrong. But CGI technology has leaped quite a lot. You see it in Star Wars, where they're literally just making people who are deceased into the films now.
Rogue One.
But, you know, Rogue One, for example. But in this film, Samuel Jackson looks like he did in the 90s. Looks like he's Pulp Fiction and stuff like that. I mean, without the big afro, he looks young. He looks like it fits. There's enough. I was looking out for it, and I could not tell that they digitally altered it. It looked pristine.
So Carol Danvers and Nick Fury team up together while she searches for someone called Lawson, who seems to be very key to her past. And that's about as far as we can go without revealing any major spoilers, really. Any problems, would you say, that you had with the film, really?
No, like you said, like, the storyline is very simple to follow. I mean, I got straight into it, and not being a superhero fan or know anything about the comics or how it's supposed to be, I found it easy to follow.
If I had any complaints about the film, I'd say that maybe the villains could have been a little bit better, because towards the end it almost seemed like she was so powerful that no one could really fight her competitively. And then maybe I'd say the film was too long. Like, the climax was maybe 10 minutes too long for me. Like, I was just thinking, wait, is this the end? Oh no, wait, this is the end. If it's a 2 hour plus long film, but I maybe cut 10 minutes out of it.
I thought Jude Law's character, I thought it was quite great. I was worried that Jude Law might drown out some of the film, because he's a big, well-known person. He's done a lot of stuff, and I was worried that maybe he would overshadow some bits, but he didn't. He was right in, he fitted in perfectly. Just want to mention Ben Mendelsohn. He's done a lot of good films recently. He's done Rogue One.
He's one of my favourite actors out there. I mean, he's one of the most underrated actors out there.
Every time I see him on a film, will just pop up and like, I didn't know he was in this film.
I didn't know that was him.
I heard his voice and then suddenly I picked it up from when he was obviously, he appeared. As soon as I saw it as him, I was like, yes, it's Ben Mendelsohn. Great choice, great thing. Because, you know, you can't fault him as an actor.
No, you can't really.
And he really added to this film.
And then in terms of how this connects to the MCU as a whole, it kind of, this is phase three, I think, of what Marvel is at the moment. And it connects well to the story because they have the Tesseract, which was a key part of the first and maybe second phases. It was key into Guardians of the Galaxy and the first Avengers film. It's strange that this late stage they'd connect back to the earlier parts of the storyline, but because this was in the 1990s, it takes place before Iron Man and a lot of those Marvel films. So I think they did quite well with the fact that they had a month to get this film out there, make it popular, make it be seen by people, and almost had to maybe fit her in and establish her as a character just in time for the big Avengers sequel coming out next month.
I'll quickly mention that it's managed to gross over $500 million globally, and that's dollars, so far out of our $140 million budget. I just want to talk about the gender equality message in this film. It is not in your face, but it's not hidden. There are jokes in there. There are scenes in there where you just see it. And I think right at the end, there's one line where, you know, she knocks down the villain and, you know, she's like, I don't have anything to prove to you. And it just, to me, it just said so much about what we're trying to do at the minute. But, you know, I thought it was a really good film overall. I think I rated it 9 on IMDb myself.
Really?
So I thought it was really good.
You've gone to IMDb.
I always rate on IMDb.
I'd say for me, maybe like 4 stars, maybe just below 4. Because I think when I think of I suppose maybe you should have a measuring stick. But I suppose with superhero films, for me, it's always The Dark Knight, which is, you know, I think is the king of all
the Batman
superhero
series.
Films.
I love the Batman series.
And then maybe in terms of these Marvel films, I'd say maybe Captain America: The Winter Soldier is brilliant, and maybe like the first Avengers film. But then there's a number of gaps in my knowledge because, with the exception of this and Black Panther, there's a swathe of Marvel films which I am yet to see. Final thoughts on it. I was kind of wary about it because I thought I'd heard stories about it playing it a bit safe, but I disagree
with
that.
I heard them stories as well, and I was a bit worried, but coming out of it, I was blown away. I thought, no, they didn't play it safe. I think they've played it exactly how they should have played it. I think it's an incredible film. That's why I've written it.
I would recommend it, yeah.
Definitely recommend it.
And that's just the first in a series of major blockbusters.
First in the series, I'm going to list out a whole lot of blockbusters here that are coming out soon, that are going to be coming out throughout the rest of the year and probably towards the end of the year.
It's a packed year.
It's a packed year, so we're going to start off here. We got Dumbo, that's coming out on the 29th of March, another Disney-type film. We got Shazam on the 5th of April, Hellboy on April the 12th. Detective Pikachu's making some noise, and that's coming out on 10th of May. Then we got Rocketman on the 24th of May. You got Aladdin on the 24th of May. You got Godzilla, King of Monsters on the 31st of May. You got the new X-Men on the 7th of June. Toy Story on June the 21st. Spider-Man Far From Home on July the 5th. The Lion King on 19th of July. Fast and Furious presents Hobbs and Shaw on the 2nd of August. And the same day as X-Men and the New Mutants. You've got Frozen 2, that's coming out on 22nd November. And obviously you've got the new Star Wars film that's coming out right at the end of the year on the 20th of December. But I think probably the biggest film coming out will be the new Avengers film, Avengers Endgame, which is April 26th. So it's literally just over a month away.
It took me over to cover. We said that it's a little bit cheeky with how close they released this. Because, I mean, if this had failed, I don't think it would have affected the Avengers too much. But the thing, it just drives it more hype towards this Avengers.
Yeah, I think it would have maybe scared a few people if this film had failed, and I'm glad it didn't. And in fact, if anything, I think it's going to drive more people to go see it. Because
I agree.
You know, people who have just seen this might want to go see Captain Marvel's character or Brie Larson in a superhero film. So I think it's going to drive more people.
I mean, as you've said there are a lot of similar types of films. There's a lot of superhero films coming out. Like Shazam is DC's Captain Marvel, but with a different name. You've got these Disney live-action reboots with Dumbo, Lion King, Aladdin, which they came out 20 years ago, but is part of this Disney thing to almost get more money out of.
It's the Hollywood reboot season. Yeah. Everyone's rebooting at the minute. If it's being rebooted into a TV show or into a film, everyone's rebooting.
It works for Disney because Beauty and the Beast got $1 billion. Jungle Book did really well. So it's one that's working, I suppose. And then obviously they have Star Wars to close out the year, which could be the top two or three films of the year. Could all be things that are owned by Walt Disney Pictures.
You've got a lot of films coming out, and so we're going to move on to our next topic, cinema prices, the tickets to go see a film. So, but the average price in the UK at the minute is £7.22, and that's slightly down from 2017, which was £7.49 per ticket. But if you look at Lincoln, where there's only one cinema complex, just the Odeon, it is almost £13 for one adult ticket. It's like £12.75, and even for a kid or a student,
it's over £10.
It's £10.25, and you look at the local area, and you've got the Odeon and Hull, which is £8.50, slightly down. You got Newark is £13. The one in London, Leicester Square, is £16.50. You know, if the average is £7.22. Why is this Odeon charging almost double that for a film?
Well, as we kind of discussed off air, there seems to be competition creates almost a race to the bottom. Because, I mean, where I come from in Leicester, there's about three major cinemas. And I've got, like, the Odeon in Leicester is about £5, which is almost... is about half of what is in Lincoln. You got The View, which is over £10, and Showcase Cinema Deluxe, which is also over £10 as well. So it's almost creating a race to the bottom, which is just common in most industries. Like competition, you kind of need that competition because Lincoln is getting a new cinema.
Yeah, it's getting an everyday cinema or something in the Cornhill, but... I was reading could be up to £15 a ticket, which is just ridiculous. And in Bedford, we had a Cineworld, and we had that for years, and the price is going up and up and up to about £10 and £11. And then they built a View in this new Riverside complex. View came out and did £5 a ticket, £6 a ticket. Cineworld almost instantly dropped their prices down to around £4 or £5 again.
Yeah.
And now they both kind of just feed off each other. One will put their prices slightly up and then drop it back down, and the other one will put their prices slightly up, and they'll just pick each other off. But there's no competition in Lincoln.
I mean, got some statistics. Like, despite, you know, this average ticket price increasing, the amount of people visiting, you know, going to the cinema each year, the amount of admissions has gone steadily up, not since the 1980s, especially since 2000. So I mean, of 2,000, you know, 142.5 million admissions. And then the start of this decade, 169 million. And then this year, and then last year, 177 million. So I'm thinking, how far should we be concerned by these ticket prices? Because obviously this doesn't account for Lincoln. This is more of a national thing. But the fact that people are still going to them are increasing numbers. Despite Netflix and Amazon Prime, and despite the increase in ticket prices, people are still going to the cinema at an increasing rate.
People are still going to the cinema, but it's the, you know, people are still going to buy certain things even if the price goes up. But like, does that mean the price is constantly going up?
Or no, they can't,
I mean, because
no.
You've got families there who are going to want to see some of these blockbuster things like Toy Story and Aladdin and stuff like that, who are going to have to shell out like parents and two kids, almost £40-45 just to go see these films.
And that includes like food as well, and if you want to buy popcorn.
Yeah, if you want food, you're almost spending £50 for a couple of hours out at your local cinema.
Yeah, is it worth it, really?
Yeah, and it's, I think at some point, it's just going to drive people away, or, you know, the Odeon really has to look at some of the prices, especially in towns where there's only one complex.
It's a national cinema. It's almost an institution. They must have gone for so long without competition that maybe they can kind of get away with having these prices, because the closest thing, if you're living in the city of Lincoln, the closest thing you have is the Wildwood Cinema, which is the restaurant slash kind of screen, but that is kind of films that have already been released. And then you've got the Cinema in the Woods, where that is also very much a specialty thing for basically if you're a film fan. But for the general audience, you'd have to go, if the film's not at the Odeon on Brayford Wharf in Lincoln, you'd probably have to go to Newark.
Newark, which is still 30
miles away.
It's an hour away by train if you're going to go there, you know. And that's, again, that feeds into the family having to decide if they really want to go see this film. So I think there needs to be maybe another cinema here to add competition to drive down prices, or Odeon really has to look at their prices in Lincoln, realize there's a ton of students, there's a ton of families who don't necessarily have the budget to go out and see films, who would want to go see films. Because I think if you'd lower the price down, a lot more people would be willing to go out and pay for stuff and go see these films.
It's noticeable even to me how much the price increased. Because I remember that was maybe £9 for a student ticket, and now it's almost 10, maybe 11. So it's ridiculous to have that much of an increase over a year, or maybe even 2 years. I wouldn't have even expected that over a decade, really. It just boggles my mind, really.
It's just something that concerns me about the local area, something that needs to be looked at. But I think we've just about come to the end of this podcast, so thank you, Fergus, for joining me on the Captain Marvel and what's coming out.
Yeah, we'll have more another time, maybe.
Yeah, hopefully, with cheaper prices to go watch these films. So thank you for listening.